Absolutely.
This is Bruce Hutchin, W. Bruce Hutchin, MBA. And I'm talking with Steve Osterhausen this morning, and we're going to do a coaching call. Steve is the CEO, executive director of Mountains of Men. And I met him a couple of weeks ago on my podcast, Hutch on Hunting. And we got to talking, and I said, Steve, would you like me to do some coaching for you for running the organization, leadership? And I do have a leadership book out there. It's called 100 to 100, 100 Days to 100% Increase in Personal Performance. That's available on Amazon. And having said that, Steve said, yeah. And I'm giving this as a full donation to of Mountains of Men. I usually charge, if you're listening to this, folks, $100 an hour or 10 sessions for $1,000. But Steve, because of who he is and what he's doing, helping the fatherless, I wanted to just man up and help him become better. So just give us, since I am going to, distribute this as a podcast, just tell us a little bit about of Mountains of Men.
Yeah, sure. Appreciate that. So, Mountains of Men are our 501c3, and we focus on helping fatherless teens on the road to masculinity. I mean, you look at all the statistics of America's in a crisis of fatherless teens. When you look at the effects on young men when they don't have a dad, with regards to their suicide rate, run and getting in jail, running away from home, it's just astronomical. So, we founded this a couple years ago, and what we do is we help the young men on the road to manhood in two ways. First, we're doing wilderness adventure trips. We're doing big game hunting here in Colorado. We're doing wilderness canoeing on the Canadian Minnesota border, and we're doing winter adventure in the mountains of New Mexico. And these equip the young men with skills that result in the confidence that's so important in the development of a boy becoming a man. Second, while we're on these adventures, we're doing campfire talks. And these are biblically based discussions on Christian masculinity based upon the book Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. And we help the boy begin to answer four questions. What's it mean to be a man? How do I become one? What's this beautiful creature called a woman all about? And how do I become really alive? And we know the young man's not going to answer the questions fully in 4 days. I mean, that takes years. But we can plant the seeds. We can get them thinking about it. So that's pretty much in a nutshell who we are and what we do.
So how many, excuse me, how big is your organization?
Amazing growth. We started in 2019. We took two kids with six people in camp. And this coming year, we're going to have a total of 60 kids with over 200 people in camp. We're doing five big game hunts, doing a pronghorn hunt in October and four elk hunts in January. And this coming June, we're taking 36 people into the wilderness of Boundary Waters Wilderness Canoe Area for an 8-day adventure. And starting next March, we're going to launch our wilderness adventures in the mountains of New Mexico. And this is pretty cool. We just confirmed this. We're adding a fourth type of trip. Next August, we'll be doing gator hunting in Florida, thanks to a
All
generosity of
right.
an outfitter. So that's going to be pretty
Here's the
cool.
gator hunting.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
Now, how many people on your staff? Direct
I pretty
reports.
much look. Pardon me?
Direct reports.
Direct reports. So we've got seven members of our board of directors. I, as the director, I receive a small stipend. And we just hired one of our board members, Paul Woodard. He's our treasurer, so he's hired on a part-time basis to help with all the grant writing and all the economics that we do.
So you, if I hear you correctly, you don't have like state directors or regional directors or anybody that's doing the heavy lifting except yourself.
Not yet. The plan is, and I've already figured this out, what I need to do is I need to get out of operations. I'm doing 60 to 70 hours a week, basically doing most of the heavy lifting, in that I'm planning the hunts, I'm selecting the kids, I'm at Costco buying the food, I'm packing the trailers and stuff. Meanwhile, I'm also trying to do the stuff I need to do, which is strategic. I need to be doing reaching out with potential donors. I need to be doing shows like this, helping get our word out. And so we've identified what I need to do is of Mountains of Men, we need to hire a director of operations. And so we've got that going forward. As soon as we reach our spending, our budget threshold, money we have in the account, we're going to go ahead and execute that. So I can be relieved of all operational aspects so I can focus on the strategic and where we go in the future, which includes the regional directors and finding property in different states and building these hard-sided buildings with full-time paid staff as we go national.
And I'm glad to hear that you have a vision, because as you and I both know, especially in these type of organizations, they try to do it all themselves. And that's one thing that of Fathers in the Field, which I'm a mentor for, John Smithmaker, had a history of CEO running major corporations, and he just took that and leveraged that and set the landscape for his organization based on sound business principles and processes, or processes, depending on what side of the border you're on. Anyway, but you can't do it all because, one, you have a life outside this. You have a wife, you have a family, and you can't do it. I mean, you can do it for a season to get it launched, but you have to, as soon as possible, start finding people that can do the job on a voluntary basis to say, this is the help I need. Will you step up and do this? And you can break it down into, in the operation side, okay, we have trip coordinators. I'm just spitballing it here, calling things what I see them. So you have trip coordinators. They come on the scene after you've got the trips already booked. So that means you need to have one person, or maybe even your board of directors, looking for that next opportunity. You just added one for gator hunting. Okay, somebody brought that to the table. They said, this is a good idea. Let's go do it.
Yeah, and if I could interrupt, because
Sure.
this I'd like your feedback. And so the way I've got it structured is I mean, I realized a couple of months ago that okay, I cannot continue to do it all. So what I've done is, so for each trip, I've got a trip organizer who is one of my board members. Take wilderness or take Boundary Waters Wilderness canoe trips. Okay, so I've got one of my board directors, board members who lives in Minnesota. He is the trip organizer. So he is in charge of all the youth selection for the trip, all the communications for the trip. For my wilderness adventure trips, I've got two co-trip leaders who are responsible for everything for the winter adventure trip. Everything from advertising, the recruiting, the selection of the kids, the planning of the classes, the transportation piece, the buying logistics. So I basically just roll in and give the campfire talks on that. So for each type of trip, I have a trip organizer, and my vision is to they are going to ultimately report to that director of operations.
Okay, so that's good. So you've already got down the road what I was thinking. So you're already offloading some of that from your shoulders so you can focus on, because as a CEO, executive director, you need to drive the strategic plan and the support, the money, either from corporately, gifts in kind, or hard dollars. And the
Yep,
more
exactly.
you do that, and the more people see you, and you get exposure, the easier it'll be. But you're not the only one, because I just did a podcast with Brittany French from Pass It On Outdoor Mentors, headquartered in Kansas, and they're in three different states, and they do turkey hunts and deer hunts and antelope hunts, and they're small, but they're doing very similar to what you're doing. Fathers in the Field is a monthly, commitment. I meet with my field buddy four times a month two for church, one for service projects, one for journey guide, which is your campfire talk. And then after we do the journey guide, we go out and do something fun. Then at the end of the year, we have a trip, such as Boundary Waters hunting. I'm taking mine to the San Juan River fly fishing. So that's how it works. So it sounds like hopefully you put paper to pen and have a strategy that you can talk to your board of directors with and say, okay, guys, here's what we're going to need. Here's what it's going to hit the budget on. And here's where I need help from you, because I've got to start focusing on my main job, and that is selling a concept to get support, to get the funding so we can grow.
Yep. I mean, we've got our strategic plan, 10-page strategic plan that lays out for the basically the next 25 years. That's posted on our website. And a good example of exactly what you're talking about is we just finished the Mile High Hunting and Fishing Expo up in Denver this past weekend. So at Mountains of Men, we had a booth, made some tremendous contacts from organizations and individuals wanting to come up. I mean, the context included, as I expected, is it's parents wanting to get their youth on these trips. We had people who were like, hey, I want to become involved in this. How can I donate? I want to volunteer. And the things that I'm trying to focus on is I had three other board members who were there. They're focusing on the personal contacts that they made. I'm focusing on the strategic communications. So just for example, so just in the last couple of days, I've coordinated where just for the next week, I'm going to be on two podcasts and a Fast TV. I talked to Rob Wagner from Fast TV. He's fascinated with what we're doing, and they're going to come out on one of the hunts in January and do a full show on that. Wants to do one on Boundary Waters. So my focus, I'm really trying to disengage from the, okay, how many lines of fishing? How many spools of fishing lines do I need for the Boundary Waters? Because I need to focus on things like these podcasts and the communications and meeting these strategic people who can help fund and invest in these young men.
Exactly. So you've got that figured out today.
Well, 26 years of being an Army officer, being a lieutenant colonel. I mean, I was a strategic planner at United States Northern Command. So I do have some experience with strategic
Yes,
plans
sir.
and
Thank you for your service, sir.
delegating. Delegating, I know, is key. Just do the command and control, give clear guidance to those people who've got different lanes, supervise and inspire and motivate. That's my main job.
So, having said that, when you took one of the assessments that I sent you, one of the links, what did you come out as?
Yeah. Came out as a transformational leader, so that was pretty cool. I'm the same as you. I was clear transformational leader. Enneagram, I'm clearly a type one perfectionist, and I've looked at all those and say, yep, I see myself in that, in both the strengths and most importantly the weaknesses, what are the areas I got to work on. So transformational leader and type one on Enneagram.
I'm making some notes here. And I could have guessed both, but I wasn't going to guess.
What's kind of funny is my wife is an eight, and were they talking there about, okay, who are you best paired with, and what's the worst
Yeah.
kind? The worst kind for a one to be paired with is an eight. But somehow we make it work.
That's funny.
Yeah, we make it work wonderfully well.
That's funny. Because, earlier, well, today I just took it up, and the analytical, the driver, the aiming bow, and the expressive, those are the sandboxes when I was managing people I worked in. And analyticals and numbers, driver, just get it done. Aiming bow, hey, I want to be part of the team. And the expressive is a gregarious person. So I'm at times, I can be everything. Because that's what I need to be
Yep.
as a manager and as a leader, of the troops, as a division of the company. So when I look at that, What areas do you need to strengthen to make your strategic plan work? You already know who you are. You already have success. There's no question about it. Now, what do we need to do for you to help make it better? Now, one example I'll put is the letter you wrote to somebody, and I came back to, well, it was with Kevin Paulson. Did you ever talk to
Yeah.
Kevin, by the way?
I had a great talk with Kevin about 45 minutes, and
Great.
the best way that he can help is for me to write a magazine article, and he sends it out to all his contacts. And I just did that last night, so I'm going to be sending that article to Kevin here next week.
Excellent. We're talking about Kevin Paulson, CEO of Hunting Life. And Kevin's an old friend. And I reached out to Kevin because I want to support Mountains and Men, just like I want to support Fathers in the Field, passing out outdoor mentors, giving it back, many, many different groups. And the way I can do that is with my podcasts and with my network. And having said that, so we already learned one thing in the relationship building is just when you do the ask, it's not just getting it done and, you know, this is what I want. It's forming a relationship, then figuring out how you can best be served by their strengths. Does that make sense?
Yep, and that's, I mean, you asked the question saying, okay, what areas do I need to work on? I need to work on two things. One, delegation. I mean, because that's just my nature is go, 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 go. I have very high standards. I hold other people to high standards. And sometimes it's a case of, okay, just be faster if I just did it myself. But I realize I'm the choke point. I'm doing 60 to 70 hours a week, but I'm the bottleneck for growth. So that's why I'm really working hard to try to delegate this stuff. You hit the nail on the head as far as I need to learn that in this type of environment, whether I'm working in the corporate world or in the world of nonprofit, it's different than the military. And that I need to, as you and I talked on the phone, I need to plant the seeds, water that relationship, build that before the ask. You know, I was Apache helicopter pilot. I was a lieutenant colonel in the Army. It's very direct. It's you know,
Yeah.
you see a mission,
Go
I
hot,
need
right?
this,
Go
that.
hot and let her rip.
Exactly. I need to execute, right? And you know, so for me, so for the learning trip, that was a great example. And I was very, very grateful both to you and Kevin for the way that you guys handled it. Was my takeaway is I need to step back and go, okay, you're not in the military anymore. And in this world of me as the director of a 501c3, in which ask is a big thing, I need to be patient. I need to build, plant those seeds, water them before we do the ask. So that was a valuable teaching point.
That's good. And a lot of people with your background, you've had control, you're flying a multi-million dollar attack helicopter, you've got people in your wing, you've got all this stuff, then you can civilian life and it changes. It really does. You know, and you have to find with the people you come in contact with, why would they even spend the minute with you, why would they support you? What's in it for them? And when you dig that out, you're going to find out. I was on one board one time. The gentleman was giving into it because his son was an addict. And this group redeemed him. And so, you know, he felt compelled to write the checks, to spend the time, to invest. And that's a huge point of contact that you would have. Now, everybody's hopefully will never get into that situation, or you will, but the stories that you're going to build from your boys, and I think you told me you have exit interviews
Yeah,
or
we do surveys.
forms.
Yep, feedback.
So from all those, you're going to have a reservoir, when you're talking to XY, to John, who owns XYZ company or retired or whatever, and you're going to have that conversation with him or her, and you're going to uncover why they would help you. Then once you uncover that, you can say, well, that's very interesting because we had Jimmy Jones. He came from a fatherless family. This, he was going down the wrong road and he needed help. And he came into our program. And this is what happened. Today's college grad, success story, success story, success story. But people like to hear stories. Everybody has a need. Everybody has their handout. But you have to connect that to what you have done. I remember one time I was up in Wyoming at an Indian reservation, and I was selling a product that would help kids that really didn't do well in class. So online learning. And the guy asked me, the principal, superintendent, whoever the guy was, he says, well, prove that to me. So I just get out my phone. We're at lunch. Get out my phone. Called a guy in Salida, Colorado, and said, hey, John, I'm sitting up here in Wyoming. You told me if I needed a testimony or a story, you'd give it. So he said, yeah, I got 5 minutes. So he talked to the guy, told a story about this kid. Was failing school, into drugs, the whole, dark story. Then all of a sudden, he got into this program that this guy was running using our product. And the guy in Salida had a picture of him because he had been at his wedding and he was the godfather of his kid and just a beautiful story. And the guy just sitting across from me said, thank you very much. And looked at me and says, okay, where do I sign up? And I didn't have to say anything, right? I just had the connections. I had the relationship that that guy, they're on equal footing. He had a story that would support what I was trying to sell this person, what I was selling this person, presenting this person. It's no different from you, because it is sales. There's no
Yeah,
question
and that's
about
why
it.
I like doing the podcast. I think even with the podcast of yours, I told the story about Dylan, right?
Right.
And because I want people to realize it's personal, right? It's not just statistics. It's Dylan. It's Kevin, whose dad is strung out on meth. It's Billy, who came from Texas with this super hard stutter, and he got his first animal, and he didn't stutter as he was telling the story. I know that those make really important personal connections. And I was thinking about that as I was reading the book that you had me read, The Rainmaking Conversations.
Yes.
About rapport, afflictions, impact, and new reality of, okay, how do I interweave these kids' stories into all of that to make it personal? Because, yeah, you're right. And going, okay, well, yeah, there's a million people coming to them with handouts. Why should they choose a Mountains of Men to invest in? It's not because of Steve. It's because I'm going to relay the stories of the kids whose lives are being changed by Mountains of Men.
And a lot of guys can write a check, right? $100, some guys $1,000, some guys $10,000. I mean, you just go to the back of the conservation groups. I'm mean, just use Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and you can see on the back seeing side, the Royals or whatever, people have given over $50,000. And then there's people that have given $500, or I don't know what it takes to get on the back list. But let's say it's $1,000 to $50,000. Well, the ones that gave 1,000, maybe that's all I could afford. But the ones that gave 50 grand, they gave it because they saw something that was important to them. And they saw the Elk Foundation as an entity that would fulfill that goal, that dream for them.
Yep, fills that need to be able to make a difference. Yep.
That's what it is. And, when you hone this in for yourself, you're going to be in conversations and hopefully I'll give you this recording, you'll go over it and you'll say, huh, okay, I'm going into this appointment meeting. And you'll have your checklist, just like on your Apache pre-flight checklist, right? You went and
Yep.
you checked everything. And then you took off. You got clearance and you took off. But you knew you had gone through your list and everything that you needed to be checked off was checked off. It's no different. It's not live or die, like in your case it was with your Apache. But with that donor, be it $1,000 or $1 million, that doesn't matter. It's finding why they should be motivated, could be motivated, or would be motivated to invest in the organization and what outcome they want to see. Because they're all hoping for an outcome. I've been around guys that have thrown some money at organizations and it was light. I mean, they had a lot more money to give, but prove me. I want to see the proof. I want to see the return. And that gets into, return on investment. Because just like somebody that's investing in your company for stock, for equity, it's really the same thing. Because they're making an investment, the equity is in changing lives. I'm involved in what I'm involved in helping these organizations because I want to see lives changed.
Yep,
That's what I want to
and we've got
see.
a unique, we have a unique way of showing these people the return on their investment because people write us a check, they become involved in that. I can invite them on a hunt as a mentor. Quick example. So we had a gentleman a couple of years ago, a guy I didn't even know, wrote us a check for $10,000, and that's a huge amount of money when. I mean, for me right now, that would be a huge
For
amount of money, but
anybody, that's a lot of money.
especially a couple of years ago. And so when I contacted him, I was thanking him profusely over the phone, saying, how much this is going to mean to these young men that you're investing in. I asked him, I said, well, if you don't mind me asking, what made you choose us? There's thousands of different, organizations you can donate to. And he says, hey, look, he says, I grew up without a father. I made some bad decisions. I would have given anything to have of mountains and men in my life at that age. And so what was cool was I invited him. I said, well, how about you come out on one of the hunts as a mentor? I have a young man who doesn't have a father figure in their life and they need a mentor. How about you come out on the hunts and be his mentor? And he did, and he saw firsthand the impact that it has. And so it's like I've got floods of volunteers wanting the guide, wanting the cook, wanting a mentor. I have guys who are like, I want to guide all five hunts. And I'm like, nope, you get one hunt because my goal is to get as many new people involved as possible. Because I know from experience, once they go on one of our adventures and they see the impact it has on this young man, they're hooked and they become our spokesman to other people telling them about us. So I've got a unique opportunity. I can do more than just send pictures or a newsletter. I can bring them on these adventures so they see firsthand what the impact is on little Jimmy.
And that's a perfect way of developing your donor group, your donor platform, because they themselves, the guy who wrote the check, went on the hunt, he can go to other people and said, hey, I made a significant impact on this organization because I could. Then I went on the hunt. Then I was there on the ground mentoring this kid. And this is what I know about of Mountains and Men now. So he becomes not just the people, not just you, Steve, but he becomes one of your best, quote unquote, salesmen, representative,
Ambassador,
ambassador,
advocate. Yep.
whatever you want to call it. Because now he can go up to somebody else that may be in his same financial playing field. And he can say, hey, Think about this. Become a mentor. Come on one of these homes. And after it, if you want to invest, great.
Yep, exactly. That's
And
what our
so,
model is, and judging by our growth, is working.
yeah. And they call it, organic growth, guerrilla marketing, all different things, but you're not spending a lot of money advertising who you are or dialing for dollars. What you're doing is slowly, this isn't a fast model, but slowly you're going to get the right people in the right places to see. Then you don't have to do anything. They can figure it out.
And what's neat is we've reached a point where I really think we're at a tipping point. For the last 5 years, it's been us going out to organizations, finding kids, finding dollars, finding organizations to donate. And just within the last 6 months, we've reached a tipping point where people are finding us, where organizations are finding us and saying, "Hey, look, I read about you on the internet. One of the guys who went on your hunts as a mentor told me about you. You don't know me, but I'd like to become involved in this organization." So it's pretty neat reaching that tipping point where people are finding us now. I mean, that's how you look at the gator hunt example that I just talked about. We may be doing you guys are gonna love this one. So just yesterday I was having a conversation. We may be soon be doing mountain lion hunts with hounds, taking use on mountain lion hunts with hounds in Wyoming because of the relationships that people are finding out about us and saying, "Hey, I want to donate these kind of hunts." So it's pretty cool.
So anyway, you're talking about tipping point, and this is backward. The tipping point, how little things can make a big difference.
Yep.
Malcolm Caldwell. Are you
Yep, read
familiar
it.
with this book?
I've read it twice.
All right, read it again.
Yeah.
Because it
Yeah,
is
it's
true.
kind of funny that you mentioned oh, hold on a sec here. Speaking of books and rereading, so there's a couple books that I try to reread every year: The Power of Positive Thinking
Right.
and Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Gain Influence.
And that
It's
was
all
written in the
highlighted and marked
40s, I
up.
think.
And
Right.
what's that?
That was written in the 40s, I
Yep,
believe.
and just as applicable today.
It's 100% applicable or whatever. Because, and when I'm writing this book, Return on Relationships, and just my outline and summaries and everything, I'm at 10,000 words already. But it's exactly.
I read your overview and I looked at your table of contents and I like the way you're laying that whole thing out.
Yeah, and that's a project. I've got a friend in Wisconsin when I go turkey hunting, he's going to meet up with me and we're going to put some work on it because, I started it and I said I had a coach myself and we were talking about Hutch on hunting, and then she got off it. She said, "Bruce, I've never asked you what you did, to get to retirement." And I said, "Well, I was in corporate America. I worked for the country's largest private business advisory organization, specializing in taxation." Say that 1,000 times fast.
Yeah,
And anyway, and so what we did, we called on CPAs and tax attorneys and tax judges and CFOs, CPAs. And we took the Internal Revenue Code and we made it in plain English. Even
okay.
today, I still remember when the code sections I talked about all the time, 1031 tax-free exchange, like-kind exchange. And so you go through that, and just like you're doing, people need to understand what they're reading. People can talk about statutes and regs and what you can do, what you can't, but until you make it so your client can understand it and you can express it to your client, it doesn't hold water. It really doesn't.
Right.
And it doesn't allow you to build a relationship with your clients. Now, CPAs that have great practices have a long-term relationship. The H&R Blocks, the Intuits, all these tax prep, they're not building a relationship. They're a marketing company that has tax products that are good, but there's no relationship with them.
Okay.
Myself and you, we're in the relationship business. We're developing a relationship because, one, I believe in what you're doing. Two, I want to help you. And this, instead of writing a check, I can bring maybe one person. Here's my voice. It says, Bruce, I want to know more about that. Or I think I sent out 12,000 emails. And will they get back to you? I have no idea. But that doesn't matter, because if one person in the outdoor industry gets back to you, that's a win. Just like Kevin, if one person from that article gets back to you, that's a win.
Yep,
And so it
exactly.
takes a lot of that. The point I'm getting at, it's not doing one thing and hanging your hat on that and say, I hope that works. No, you have to do multiple things. And by
Grow a lot of
you,
seeds on the ground and wait for one of them to sprout and then water it.
there you go. But you sow in good soil. If you want to go to the good book, you sow where there's good soil. So you sow where people are interested in helping you. Does that make sense?
Yep, that all makes sense.
And so that's, where our relationship is going, is for me to be able to help you have these discussions, our own coaching calls rather than campfire discussions. Just have these coaching calls. So you say, well, what about this? You can use me as a sounding board. And we can help grow your business, grow your vision, grow your success by pointing out, okay, here's my strengths. I do this real well. I need to start delegating, get that ironed out, and then we'll always find something to talk about.
Yep, I very much value that. It's like, in the military, we have a thing called a command climate survey where your troops provide anonymous feedback on you as a leader. And some of it can be hard to take, so I learned early on the importance of listening to people, not getting defensive. And going, okay, no matter how good a person is, no matter how good Dale Carnegie was, he self-admittedly says, I have so much to learn. I need to be teachable. And so that's why I wanted to do these with you, is trying to be teachable, because as we talked earlier, saying, I've got a lot of experience in the military and strategic planning, but this whole world of corporate is new to me. And so I'm trying to be one of those leaders that takes feedback, learn from mistakes, and go forward and draw from the experience and the benefit of those who know more than I do, like you in the corporate world. So I really appreciate the time you're spending with me.
Well, and it's, my honor, my privilege, and I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't believe in what you're doing. Just like fathers in the field, I believe in what they're doing. That's why I'm giving them the time I am, because it's important. And just like Brittany French, the CEO of Pass It On Outdoor Mentors, she's just in three states. Wonderful, wonderful lady, and maybe somebody that it would be good for you to know, because it's always good to know other people doing the same thing you are, because you get
Sure.
ideas from each other. And I'll send you an introduction to her,
Well, thank you.
and then you can go from there. So what questions do you have of me? You know who you are, transformational leader. You know the strengths of that. You know the improvement opportunity areas for that, and the personality types. You realize you're a hard charger, get it done, stay on task. So for our next talk, What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning. Here's what my biggest challenge is that I would value your input on to talk about next time. We are growing incredibly fast. You know, like I said, with two kids just 5 years ago, this year 60 kids, we have doubled in size every single year. Everything from our income to our number of volunteers to our mentors to our donors to all these opportunities, all these doors are opening up. And you know, whenever my quiet time every morning with the Lord, you know, I pray for, I say, you know, God, help me to build a mountains of men. Give me the wisdom. Help me to kick open doors, have doors open, but know which ones to go through and which ones not to go through at this time. So it's like a perfect example was at the expo. You know, we had guys come up and saying, "Hey, I've got 20,000 acres of prime whitetail hunting land in Kansas. Why don't you come and do a hunt there? Hey, you could do horseback riding in Montana. Come do that. You could do zip lining. You've got the mountain lions. You've got all these opportunities that are opening up." There was a backcountry fly fishing in the White Mountains of Colorado. He invited us, saying, "Hey, we bring people in on horseback up to this beautiful blue ribbon fly fishing up there up at the lodge. We would love to have you guys come." And so I'm looking at it and I'm talking about it with my board. And you know, we've got excitement, we got enthusiasm. And what I'm cautioning them and myself on is we are not my we are I'm I do not want to grow too fast to where I sacrifice quality for quantity. Right. And so as I'm looking at all these opportunities, I mean, the amount of time I spent just networking as a result of that expo with offers of collaboration. How do I know which doors I should go through and which ones I should not close, but I leave it half open and say, okay, down the road. And then how do I maintain those doors being open for the future? Because that's what I need. I need to figure out. I've got so many people come and say, "I want to help. Here's fantastic trips that you guys can do." I need to be very selective in which ones support what we want to do and which ones would just detract from it. So that's what I'd like to talk about next time.
All right. And I made some notes. So basically, manage growth. Two, maintain relationships. And then three, prioritize what's next.
Yep, that's one area, and I got a second area I'd like to talk about.
Okay, that's one. Go ahead.
Okay, you know, as I outlined in my strategic plan, what Mountains of Men is currently doing, this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? When if you read my
Right.
strategic plan, it calls for, I've got three different phases. Phase three is where we have OMM centers around the country, hard-sided buildings with full-time staff in Maine and Texas and Oregon. You know, where we're not putting through dozens of kids a year, we're putting through hundreds, if not thousands. Think of it as an outward bound for Christian young men, right? In order for us to do that, I need to add some zeros to our bank account,
Yes,
right?
you
A good
do.
amount, right? You know, it's like I was very thankful. We just got a donation yesterday for $2,000 from a mom who's son is going on one of our adventures, and she's like, you know, I wrote her a handwritten thank you note and everything, like I do for everything. And she said, "I really believe in what you guys are doing." In order for me to get OMM to this level I want, I need investors who are willing to invest $50,000,
A
$100,000,
million
right?
bucks.
$1 million, exactly.
And they're
I
out there.
am. And that's so that's what I want to talk
They're
about in
out
the
there.
next time is how do I find them? How do I find them? I think I've got a pretty good model for. It's like you said, you know, when you're going for a meeting, okay, you prepare and you hit your checklist, right? My Apache checklist when meeting with a potential donor, right? My question is how do I find those donors to have those kind of conversations? That's what I would like to pick your brain on next time.
Okay. And if I knew how to do that really well, guess what? I'd be doing it. And
Well, put it this way.
charging you 15, 20% of all the money I found.
Well, put it this way, though. I mean, the amount of connections that you have, your network is impressive. And that just didn't happen by accident. You were obviously very good at building those relationships, doing the networking. And that is, I mean, that's what I need to be doing as the director, as the CEO of Mountains and Men, not figuring out I need 288 tortillas for the Boundary Waters
No,
trips this coming summer.
I don't want you to be a mess cook anymore. You're
Yeah,
done with
nor do
that.
they. Nor do they. So yeah, those two areas would be great. I think those two areas would be great to discuss during our time here on our next visit.
And so, okay, I got it. Message received. So now you've got to start. Just Google it. There's plenty of different programs. And I don't have a favorite program. I used to know the development guy at my University of Wisconsin La Crosse. He's gone. And I used to know the guy in charge of the Rockamel Elk Foundation when they got started, because I was there with Wallace Pate. He was a personal friend. That's another relationship that I developed. I told you that story before, how I bid against at the first Colorado big game banquet for the RMAF. And I'm going, who's this guy bidding against me? I had no idea. Absolutely no idea. And he was such a humble guy. And that's another story I'll share with you later, folks, listeners. But anyway. But we became friends just from that one situation, and then we're friends until he died. I went to his ranch up in Wyoming, hunted with him, and went to his house down in Georgetown, South Carolina. And yeah, it's just something I think that when people see who you are, the passion you have, the abilities that you have, and they weigh that Wallace weighed those very quickly on me and said, I want you involved. I never was on the board, was invited a couple of different times, but for whatever reason, I didn't get on the board. And it's investing in people. So this comes back to your own board. Do you have anybody on your board that can help you find the right people to move forward, to next take the next step? So that's one responsibility of the board is one, help you find money, help you identify new people, and set up meetings for you to have interviews with them. You got to use your board more. And I'm
Yeah,
sure
and
you are.
the latest member that we brought on our board was brought on one because I mean he's a great Christian man, great role model, great hunter and everything. But one of the reasons I chose him was because of his business connections. And as a result, it's already paid off. I mean, so he's the reason the connections that he has, he's the whole reason that we were at the Mile High Hunting and Fishing Expo with the booth that we had, with those connections that paid off with that. Because of his connections, we were able to be had a custom gun auctioned off for us at the banquet, and the
How
gun
did
went
that
for
go?
well, the gun went for $13,000.
Not bad.
So not bad at all. So it exactly is, you know, and I told him right up front, you know, when I asked him to be on the board, I said, look, I've got several guys who would be awesome as board because they're heart and they're driven, they're passionate. But he has the business skills. He has built several companies from the ground up. I said, you have skills that I don't have. And his connections are self-evident. So I'm realizing that, I mean, that's, a leader, a leader doesn't have to be super smart. He's just got to be smart enough to surround himself with really smart people. And that has the skills that.
That's how I built my teams. I hired people smarter than I am
Yeah,
and
you told
turned
me
them
about that.
loose.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, so that's part of that whole, awareness of identifying, yeah, I've got my strengths, but I've got my weaknesses too. We all have our blind spots. I need people to come around alongside me. That's part of my prayer. When I built of Mountains of Men, when God put it on my heart, said, you're going to start a ministry to help take these kids into Christian manhood. I said, awesome. I'm all in. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea of how to run a ministry. I said, you've got to send men into my life who have the skill sets that I don't. And thankfully, he's answering that. He is surrounding me with great men, and including people like to advise me. Kind of like you're kind of like a special counsel advisor for Mountains of Men. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate you. So let's wrap this up
Okay.
with a prayer so you can pray for us.
All right. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank so many people here. I want to thank you for specifically for Hutch, for breathing into me and helping me bring OMM into the next level, because ultimately this is all about the young men that we're serving. If OMM grows larger and bigger and better in quality, it results in the young people. The perfect example is at the expo. Yes, we want to make connections with donors and volunteers and corporate sponsors. But at the end of the day, the most important contacts we made was that single mom who came up to our booth with tears in her eyes with her son after finding out what we do and saying, my son needs this. How can he be part of it? And that's the goal here, God, is to bring these young men, bring the right young men into this ministry. So I thank you for Hutch. I thank you for the listeners out there who are listening to this and maybe going, I want to be a part of that. So we thank you for them having open hearts and open ears and willing to be able to step up and say, yes, I want to help these young men. We thank you for all the provisions that you provide all of us each and every day, whether it's a child's laugh, whether it's our wife, whether it's the beautiful sunshine that we have today. And thank you for the turkeys that I'm going to be hunting tomorrow. I'd love for you to give me one. Bless me with the turkey. That would be awesome, Lord. So ultimately, at the end of the day, everything we do is for your glory. And we just are in awe of the way that you love us and you provide for us. In your name, amen.
Heavenly Father, just join with Steve and thanks for putting us together. You're the great relationship builder because that's all you want from us, from your kids. Bring your children is a relationship and give the strength to of Mountains of Men to Steve to grow to change kids' lives like Steve and I were talking about in the warm-up the pre-show that if we can reach one kid's life save his life and make him the person that you created him to be, that's a win. That's priceless. And I ask you to bring the people to Steve's organization that can grow it, just like that new board member. He jumped on board, made the calls, pushed the buttons, and made a huge impact. And so continually bring the people that we need to put in this pot of stew, this pot of chili, to have an all-star, off-the-charts meal that they can serve up to thousands of kids, not just hundreds, but literally thousands of kids across the country. In Steve's heart, he's looking to expand across the country, and he mentioned outdoor bound camps where people were challenged People found who they were. But this is more than that, because that's going to happen organically. But Father God, we're going to open up kids' hearts with the campfire chats. And they're going to realize they're created for a purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All righty. Looking forward.